It is time now for another edition of WMIC AM 660 95.3 FM. Streaming online at CNIBroadcasting.com. Click the Listen Live link for another edition of our Monday Labor Day edition of Thumb Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show. I got it all in there. With me in the studio, coming off their busy Labor Day week, and hopefully they enjoyed it, the usual host, Mike Gallagher from the San Luis County News.
How you doing, buddy?
Great. I love your shirt.
Thank you.
In tribute of God Bless His Soul, Jimmy Buffett there, I suppose.
May he rest in peace.
Yes. All right. So I have a margarita later. Also with us, Thumb Tugger Sports, webcaster and radio broadcaster, and also frequent Sand Lake Broadcasting contributor, future sports reporter someday, I hope. I've been trying. Jonathan Bisher.
3 weeks in a row I made it down here, Eddie.
You have.
Don't expect a fourth.
And for the very first time in studio, we've had him on the phone, but Thumb Tugger Sports and this show goes back with me and him way back then. The original Thumb Tugger himself, along with Paul Adams of the Huron County View.
Hey, it's good to be here. This is a nice studio.
You're welcome.
It's very comfortable.
Yes. All right, bad picks and the pigskin picks. Yale Bulldogs take a big bite of the BWAC with a win over Armada. Crowds election to Pioneers wagons pull away with their offensive horses against Richmond. Almont raids their way to another win to go to 2-0. Ubley Bearcats rips another opponent. Harbor Beach Pirates clips the wings of the Cass City Redhawks. The Bad Axe Hatchet sharpens up to bounce back win over Reese. Sandusky and Marlette are 2-0. They start week three, the East Division League games. Peck challenged by Caseville, but still able to hold on to win, while the Bay City All Saints take charge and earn its stripes with its win over North Huron. Akron Fairgrove Vikings invade CPS, declining
sound the Tigers. The horn.
Declining the Tigers. Dackerville passing game? Their passing game threat adds another dimension to its already potent running game, and Kingston and Brown City score huge numbers to prepare their upcoming collision with league showdowns with Dackerville also. Here we are. Man, a lot to talk about in week two alone there.
Eddie, you said JB should be a sports writer. Man, I didn't know you had
sports
that in you. That was
broadcaster.
That was a nice roundup there. I'm going to steal some of those
headlines.
Those
are important.
You like those?
You and Scott even asked him for headlines for how long, and he's never chimed in, and he just comes out raring.
Wow. I'm sorry, but I cannot discuss whatever you guys discuss sometimes.
Oh.
I pulled myself away. You know how hard it is to pull yourself away from Facebook Messenger?
We're all addicted.
It's like I bled off on you guys to just go on these tangents. They have no relation to sports. But God bless his soul, Jimmy Buffett passed away. Who else? Bob Barker. And we have another one, right?
Smash Mouth.
Smash Mouth singer just passed away.
Yes.
They always come in threes.
They were all stars, that's for sure. So bless them all, yeah. All right.
Speaking of Jimmy Buffett, did you see some of the tributes they were doing down in Key West? It was amazing.
Yes.
Duval Street was packed with people celebrating his life, and it was a celebration of life.
There was a Caseville native down there celebrating in the Key West.
We could all be so lucky to live the 76 years that Jimmy Buffett lived on this planet. I mean, he lived every moment like it was his last. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was a late night for me. When I woke up in the morning, I said, no, it must have happened late overnight. I wake up, and that, you know, so I had to play a song per hour leading up to the Tigers game Saturday.
That's good, yeah.
From Finn's A Changes in Latitude, The Changes in Longitude to Volcano is one of my favorites there. Margaritaville, of course, so well known, but he's got so many great songs. Little Miss Magic, I can't wait to dance to that song with my daughter at her wedding someday, so it'd be great. All right.
Nice.
So Jimmy Buffett obviously inspired many of y'all. Let's talk football. The BWAC is a talk we're going to talk about here. And I think the big story here, Mike Gallagher, was the Yale Bulldogs getting that win and a gutty win. We talked about this is the year we think something's going to happen in this week, in week three, or at least in the BWAC chase, where Yale is going to be the one. That's going to be one of these top teams, and to be whacked at, we're still familiar with, from North Ranch, Almont, Armada, and Croswell. Now we have that trifecta has now become a quad now.
Yeah, we've talked about Yale a lot, and the way that Grundman has been building up that program, and how they have the potential to beat any of the top teams in the BWAC. We saw that with them nearly upsetting Croslex at Yale Park last year. But gun to my head, I don't think I would have predicted Yale to beat Armada. We knew that they had a chance, but Armada was coming off of a game where they just handled Marine City. And, you know, at that point, you know, very, very early in the season, but it seemed like, okay, Armada is the favorite in the BWAC. But just a gutty performance from Yale. They scored two touchdowns in under the final 2 minutes. You know, crazy things happen in Yale Park. So that's just a great win, signature win for Coach Grundman. And that's what they've been looking for, because last year, I think you could say they won all the games they were supposed to win. They nearly pulled off some upsets, but they never really got that signature win. They got it now. So I'm interested to see how Armada bounces back, because they got Croslex this week in Armada. So that's going to be a dogfight, because you know Armada's going to want to bounce back and pick up a big win. So
so the scores in the BWAC, we had Elmont playing on a Wednesday. In fact, we had a couple games on Wednesdays. Was it due to Labor Day or just lack of officials?
I think a lot of it has to do with officials, and that's why we had some of those Friday games, too.
Yeah, so we had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Any Saturday games that lingered out there? Possibly down in the city, maybe. But
down in the city, there's always Saturday games.
Let me tell you what, you can get away with Thursday and Friday. You're not getting away with Saturday up here for games, no matter what the excuse is.
Rare occurrence other than, like, what we had storms. So
Peck homecoming, but that's a Friday now. So.
Elmont still won over Algonac on a Wednesday, 49-0. North Branch over Emily City, 52-7. North Branch lost in their opening game against Ada Forest Hills Eastern, right? And you were at that game, couldn't make up the game because it changed two different times.
Yeah, initially Thursday night, then Friday, then Saturday. And so we just had to pull the plug on it eventually.
And then Yale, of course, with a big win over Armada with 2 minutes left, although I recovered an onside kick also. Yep. Yale had scored, I believe, so... Mm-hmm. 34-28.
The extra point was blocked.
So, right.
Yeah. They needed a score.
They had to.
Yeah, they had regardless. To have it. Yeah.
So, and then the game we did, which was a close affair earlier with Crosby Lexington beating Richmond 29-10 in that game. So when we get back to this Yale game, I'll tell you what they did at stat-wise. Over 200 yards passing again. You talk about Grumman with this team. He's had these players now for a couple years. A lot of them are seniors now. Plus, you got your 2 years that the JV team were bought into the system also. And it sounds like... not as much, you know, parents talking in the ears of the kids. The kids are focused on the coach and on the team. Mm-hmm. Instead of what's in the stands here, they're focused on what they do. And it proved that right there, that they didn't give up. It's amazing where you just didn't give up. And, you know, you took one big play. That big play was an onside kick. They got him the ball back also for that win. Over two, they were 15 of 26 passing-wise against what was a good Armada defense. Last year, 237 yards passing. Three touchdowns, but you did turn the ball over against a good team. That's two. You can't do that through the rest of the season when you're going to meet up with Elmont or Croswell or a North Branch. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and I kind of think the thing that stands out, obviously we were expecting the offense from Yale. Garrett Grumman, great offensive coach, great offensive mind. But when you match up against an Armada team, you got to play defense because they can, you know, get up on you and, you know, get up score-wise and then just chew clock on you at the end of the game. And that's what they tried to do because they were up a score at the end. And, you know, Yale's defense made some plays, and that's what you're going to have to do if you want to compete in the BWAC, because you can't just be an offensive-minded team. You got to be able to stop the run because that's what everybody in the BWAC likes to do is run the ball.
You talk about running the ball. Well-balanced offense with Grumman here also, 113 yards rushing against Armada also with 29 carries. So that's eating up a little bit of clock. Two rushing touchdowns also. Mm-hmm. So well-balanced offense, what you need to do here in the BWAC. So, so their next game coming up for the Yale Bulldogs is against North Branch.
Doesn't get any easier, but that's how it goes in the BWAC, you know.
That's going to be a dandy of a game too, and I think that one's in Yale again.
I'm not sure. I have to check your schedule that you made up there.
I haven't done this week's yet. I'm not going to lie.
No, we're still in Labor Day mode.
I've been on holiday mode all weekend, man.
Well, this is what they got. They got North Branch. They still have Richmond, who was a pretty tough team for Croswell through at least the first half, you know, or in one quarter. It was 7-0 at the half against Croswell that we'll talk about here in a minute. Then they have Croswell Lexington. Then maybe a little bit of a minor break, but you never want to look back. Past these, you know, lower echelon teams right now are having trouble. Emily City and Algonac, but then you have Elmont also that could decide the Blue Water Area Conference League title also. So, and then Schwartz Creek, still competition here.
Yeah, I think this week proved that the BWAC, we've said it before, the top to bottom, it's one of the best conferences. But now you're seeing some of these teams on the lower half of the conference start to climb up into the top half. We saw it with the Yale win over Armada, the way that Richmond played against Croslex. Richmond, that was a team in the bottom half of the conference last year. Now they're competing with Croslex, one of the top teams in the BWAC. So it's just going to be a dogfight this year in the conference. I don't think anybody everybody escapes conference play with no losses. So every week is going to be important. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Richmond, you know, knocks off one of these teams eventually. And as we know, you know, Yale proved it. They're in the top half of the conference now.
Armada's going to be okay. They can bounce back from this.
Armada will be fine,
yes.
Yeah.
They have 118 yards passing, but 266 yards rushing yards, which is their bread and butter.
Yep, they'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll be fine. So it's just going to create havoc in the BWAC.
Yeah, and that's then, you know, you got the silent giant in Almont just kind of hanging out, doing their thing. They've outscored their first two opponents, I think, 88-0. They're one of 13 schools in the state that have not allowed a point this year. And we kind of saw that last year when, you know, everybody was talking about Croslex and Armada, and then Almont comes to Croslex and knocks off the Pioneers. So that's another team that, you know, they could end up winning the conference. So
I want to give credit to quarterback Connor Jakubiak.
Yep.
5 touchdowns, 3 passing, 2 rushing.
Okay. I didn't realize he had 5 touchdowns. That's pretty impressive.
For the Yale Bulldogs.
Yeah.
And then also Zach Dykes ran for 2 scores for the Armada Tigers with those rushing yards also.
Okay.
So, yeah, they were actually leading. Yale was leading 21-6 in the first 15 minutes, but Armada coming back and scored the next 22 points. And then that's where you just had to dig down deep, and Yale Bulldogs able to find a way to come back and get the wins.
So, well, and the thing was, at the end, you know, Yale was driving, I want to say about 4 or 5 minutes left. They only had 1 timeout, and then they got stopped on 4th down. They had to give the ball back to Armada. And, you know, at that point, you think, okay, Armada's just going to put this one away. They're going to chew out the rest of the clock. But Yale was able to get a couple of stops and then gave their offense an opportunity. I think they had their defense had a late interception. Armada was trying to throw it on a 3rd down play. So the defense, you know, obviously the offensive stats for Yale are very impressive. 5 touchdowns for Jakubiak is very impressive. But you got to give some kudos to the defense for Yale as well.
Okay, and real quickly here, who they're going to meet up against is North Branch. North Branch with the big win, 52-7 over Emily City. Passing yards, 90 yards, 376 yards rushing-wise for the North Branch Broncos also. They're kind of back on track after that week one hiccup.
Well, the week one hiccup, that's not really a hiccup.
It's a good team.
you're playing, anytime you play a Forest Hills team from the Grand Rapids area, you're running into some stiff competition.
Any team from Grand Rapids for that fact.
Yeah, for that fact.
That was a team that had a ton of starters back, too.
Yes, so, it was. They lost their main running back, but I think that was pretty well it from last year for Forest Hills Eastern. But then they come back home, back-to-back weeks home, take care of Emily City, really no problem. And you look at that and like, man, they lose their coach. They lose, what, half their team North Branch did? And you go,
their 4-year starting
quarterback Will Damascus gone, and everybody just kind of stepped right in as soon as they got to league play, and they just seemed, once again, on top of the BWAC with Almont, with Armada, with Croslex, and now Yale.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be one of those years where it wouldn't surprise me even if a BWAC, we have co-BWAC chance with maybe 2 losses.
Yeah, we've seen that.
That is a possibility this year.
And that happened last year. So.
Last year was 1 loss.
North Branch.
But it was co-champ.
Co-champ. Yeah. I'm saying we could have 2 lost champs this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, so we talked about Yale and a little bit about North Branch there. They're both going to meet up against each other, Yale Bulldogs against North Branch. This is where the race starts. You know, it started last week, actually, against Armada for the Yale Bulldogs, as well as for Croswell, who are we going to talk about when we come back. Paul, anything to add here?
No, you guys got it covered. Really good job with BWAC.
All right, we got more BWAC to attack. Croswell Lexington to Pioneers getting a gutty win over the Richmond Blue Devils. We'll tell you why here when we come back. It's Sportsline here on WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM. We'll be right back.
We're turning up the heat with summer pandemonium at the ABS Tech Team. Head to your nearest Tech Team location in Pigeon or Sandusky and fire up the level of your computer security today. The Tech Team has exclusive pricing on Panda Security, a leading provider of virus and malware detection and prevention in the tech industry. With Panda Security, your computer is always up to date on fighting the latest cybersecurity threats, all while running quietly in the background with no impact on your PC's performance. Bring your computer in or have the Tech Team install Panda Security remotely from the comfort of your home. All new Panda subscriptions also come with a $5 discount for a limited time. Don't go unprotected. Give the Tech Team a call today at 888-282-4943. or head to the ABS Tech Team store near you. Terms and conditions apply. The ABS Tech Team, serving the Thumbs technology needs since 2008.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes six loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
Can you go anywhere and find an endeavor in society where we've come to accept and tolerate an adult, and even kids, treating another adult the way we allow spectators, coaches, and players to treat a high school game official? Can you? No one has the right to abuse game officials. So before you blurt something out about that next close call, consider this. Without the officials, nobody wins. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.
And welcome back to Sports Line, Film Sports Line Radio. Talking about the Blue Water Area Conference up to the 6 o'clock hour. We'll have a 6 o'clock news break. And then we'll get into the Greater Thumb Conference and into the NCTL and however long our show lasts. As we hope to end up before 8, maybe 7:30. It is Labor Day. Mm-hmm. The Elmont Raiders getting the 42-0 win against Algonac. It almost seems like almost a week ago.
It was almost a week ago. Yeah. 5 days ago.
Yeah. Wednesday is coming up. 129 passing yards for the Elmont Raiders to Algonac's 55 yards, and rushing yards for the Elmont Raiders, 247 yards. They're known for the wing tee. And also the jet sweep runs also. And they allowed 107 rushing yards against the Algonac Muskrats and ran away with it for the Raiders, 42-0. Coming up for the Yale Bulldogs, I mean for the Elmont Raiders, that is, excuse me, they'll be up against Emily City this week.
That just means Elmont's end of the year BWAC schedule is going to be extremely difficult.
They're getting the easy ones out of the way, right?
They're trying to get fine tuned before they go into it. Elmont. What can you say about Elmont though? Year after year, they're top of the BWAC, if not first or second, third. They're in the playoffs every year. That's just a well coached team that's very similar to a lot of teams we see up in the Thumb. Yeah. Run that wing tee.
James Lewsby doing a heck of a job.
Yeah, they run that wing tee perfection, and teams have yet to figure out how to stop it, and just credit Elmont. But after this week with Emily City, it's going to get tough for them, and they're going to have to figure some things out just if they want to get back on top of the BWAC, because Croslex has looked very good through the first 2 weeks. Armada, even though they lost last week, has looked very impressive offensively. Yale's looked very good offensively. North Branch had a big bounce back win this past week. So it's not going to be no cakewalk for our Elmont. The first 2 weeks, no problem, but it's about to get real tough for them after this week.
Chase Davidowski for the Elmont Raiders, 6-7. For passing, 129 yards, 3 touchdowns. Also, Jacob Stewart for Elmont, rushing-wise, was the leading rusher. He had 132 yards on 4 attempts with 1 touchdown. Also, I remember him from covering him the last couple of years. Chase Patani had also a touchdown on 2 touchdowns, 53 yards, 9 carries also, and 3 carries for a touchdown for 37 yards. To Luke Winkler, also for the Elmont Raiders. They always have a 1-2-3 punch and an uppercut with the receiving core also. Pretty impressed about that. He threw touchdowns at 3 different players.
You don't see that too often.
No, yeah. No. One of them was a running back also, so slash running back, slash wide receiver in their type of offense also. But 2 receptions for Cole Walton, who had a touchdown receiving also. He is your true wide receiver. I know Elmont always seems to have that tall wide receiver year after year after year.
You get to those BWAC schools, and they tend to usually have one or two real standout athletes in the ad. It seems like every year Almont produces a 6'5" guy that just goes up in the end zone and wins jump ball after jump ball. Croslex usually has this massive running back that no one can tackle. North Branch has usually just got these speedsters that no one can catch when they get in the open field of their running game. So it's just, you get to these BWACs, and it's not just one athlete for a school. They usually end up having three or four of them, and it's some great football to watch.
Now, you talked about JB, how, you know, having the Emily City this week. Okay, we'll see what happens there. But by the way, the things have been shown for Emily City, you know, it's going to be tough against Almont. But then, like you said, boom, you know what they're running into.
Yeah, you got North Branch, Armada, and Croslex right after that.
And then Richmond and Yale.
And Richmond and Yale. So, Almont, you better be a well-oiled machine come week four, because those guys are going to be coming after you, especially if you take care of business to begin week against Emily City. You'll be sitting 2-0 on top of the BWAC. Armada's already got a loss. Yale and North Branch, one of them is going to get their first loss this week. Armada and Croslex could very easily have their first loss this week going against Armada, because you know Armada is going to be hungry after mm-hmm. losing to Yale mm-hmm. to come out and pull that one off. So with that being said, Almont very easily could be sitting alone up top of the BWAC, and that just puts a massive target on your back with those three big horses coming up next.
And that, let's talk about the Croslex and Pioneers. Got to win. Gritty win, 29-10 over the Richmond Blue Devils. Now they'll have Armada, Algonac, and then Yale sandwiched in between those two games, and then Almont also. So they have a little bit of a break between each game here, but this week three, this is a very important game. You know, Armada just smarting after that loss. Going to come in here fully motivated to maybe try to take one from Croslex Lexington.
Yeah, and I'm not going to doubt Croslex until they actually lose, because they've done nothing to prove that they aren't the favorite in the BWAC still. I do have to eat a little bit of crow, because last week when we discussed the Croslex-Richmond game, we talked about how Richmond was going to try and turn it into more of a defensive battle, and you know, I kind of said I don't think that Richmond is capable of that, but they proved that they were able to. But for Croslex, yeah, like you said, a gritty win. Over the past three seasons, Croslex has outscored Richmond 153-7, somewhere around those numbers. And I think Richmond was pretty sick of that. And they are a much improved team. But at the end of the day, Croslex has Gavin Espinosa and Belly Grappi, and Richmond doesn't.
Yeah, so the first score was finally made at the second quarter, 5:55 mark, 7-0 Croswell. Belly Grappi with a 12-yard TD, and the PAT was good. After a punt from Richmond, the drive started from the Croswell Lexington's own 7-yard line in that series of offense. 7-0 at the half there. But Richmond had a chance before that half. They had a defensive interception at the 1:58 mark, second quarter, in Croswell territory at the 38-yard line, but ended up punting to the 21-yard line. I thought it was four-down territory. Maybe, you know, you want to get in there a little bit closer. They did have a kicker, and they did. We ended up seeing a good long field goal kick, but it was 7-0 at the half. Richmond coming out right off the bat in their first series of offense. Quarterback Anthony Bonetti throws a 29-yard TD pass to number 9 Jalen Browning on that play. But Croswell responded at the 5:14 mark, third quarter. QB number 2 Gavin Espinosa throwing a 45-yard TD pass to number 8 Cody Mativier. The PAT was good, making it 14-7 in the third quarter. And again, at the end of the third, 14-7, Richmond had their opportunities also. They got a field goal, making it 14-10. Richmond's number 7, Colton Bartels, who I thought maybe that they would have gotten a couple more extra yards, they could have got it to the through the uprights before the half also. But then Croswell responded. Number 2, Gavin Espinosa, the quarterback, 2-yard TD run. PAT kick good by number 88, Will Geiger, for Croswell, who did the extra point kicks. Interception by Richmond again. They could have got back into this game by number 9, Jalen Browning. They had the ball at the 38-yard line, again in Croswell-Lexington territory. Just couldn't get it in there. And Croswell was able to score again. The Richmond turnover on downs. Croswell got back in their own 32-yard line and another score, making it 29-10 in the fourth quarter with 49 seconds left, with 27-yard TD run by Bailey Grappi, 2-point run also by Jet Weeder.
I think the things that stand out, so Richmond hit the field goal at the beginning of the fourth quarter, correct? Made it 14-10, or was that the end of the third?
That was in the third, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
they scored once, and then they scored a field goal later.
Right.
They get it close there. Yeah.
So the thing that stands out is in that fourth quarter, Croslex scores 15 points, and the offense made the big plays when they needed to, but that also goes to the defensive side of the ball. The defense really clamped down on Richmond at the end when they needed to. Belly Grappi made a great play on fourth down. He didn't sack the quarterback, but he chased him around for about 20 yards before the quarterback got rid of it finally. So it's been no secret for Croslex this year. They're going to lean on Belly Grappi, and they're going to count on Gavin Espinoza to make plays. And so far, so good. With the Richmond defense keen on Belly Grappi all night, he still had 143 yards and two touchdowns on 27 attempts. So that's 27 attempts. So they're going to lean on him. Gavin Espinoza, 14 attempts for 130 yards and a touchdown, and then obviously the touchdown through the air to Cody Mativier. That's two touchdowns for Mativier in 2 weeks. He's really emerging as a big playmaker. So nice win for Croslex. It doesn't get any easier from here.
Yeah, and the Croswell defense holding Richmond to 155 total yards of offense, 88 passing yards and 67 rushing yards. So
there you go. Richmond looked good on offense. They just didn't have that one guy that could really change the game for them. Otherwise, you know, maybe it was a different game, but their defense looked great.
But if Richmond can hold Croslex to 29 points and shorten the game like they did, especially in the first half, they might be able to pull off an upset this year.
We'll be right back after the 6 o'clock news for more Sports Line.
WNIC AM Sandusky and 95.3 FM. W237 EQ Sandusky.
We're turning up the heat with summer pandemonium at the ABS Tech Team. Head to your nearest Tech Team location in Pigeon or Sandusky and fire up the level of your computer security today. The Tech Team has exclusive pricing on Panda Security, a leading provider of virus and malware detection and prevention in the tech industry. With Panda Security, your computer is always up to date on fighting the latest cybersecurity threats, all while running quietly in the background with no impact on your PC's performance. Bring your computer in or have the Tech Team install Panda Security remotely from the comfort of your home. All new Panda subscriptions also come with a $5 discount for a limited time. Don't go unprotected. Give the Tech Team a call today at 888-282-4943 or head to the AVS Tech Team store near you. Terms and conditions apply. The AVS Tech Team serving the Thumbs technology needs since 2008.
Welcome back to Thumb Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show on Labor Day Monday, September 4th, 2023.
Is it nap time?
There's still college football on tonight, too, isn't there?
Let's go.
Okay. Clemson.
High school recap of football games. We talked about the BWAC. Now we move into the Greater Thumb Conference. We're going to start off with the East. The Sandusky Wolves are 2-0 now. After their win over the Vassar Vulcans, 46-0 in that game. 382 rushing yards for Sandusky, 46 rushing attempts with five touchdowns also, and limited to Vassar to 26 yards. No passing for Sandusky. It was all run, limiting to Vassar to 66 yards passing. They had two interceptions also. Penalties, four penalties on Sandusky for 40 yards. So good offensive output once again for Sandusky. Yeah, this looked like on paper they were supposed to win this game here, Mike.
Yeah, and Sandusky just went out and took care of business. 14-0 after the first quarter. They outscored 24-0 in the second quarter, and then kind of cruise after scoring in the third. So yeah, that's a game Sandusky was supposed to win, and they, you know, left no doubt about that. A couple of things to note. They had eight different players get carries on the offensive side, so that's always nice to see. You know, when you're up big like that, to give some of the other players some opportunity, that's always nice to see. Danny Tovar, he played tight end in week one. He stepped into the backfield this week. Looks like Tyler Franzel might have been out for this game. I don't know if it was injury, but he doesn't appear in the box score. So Danny Tovar steps in, 11 carries, 78 yards, and a touchdown. So that's a good game by him. But Jackson Reinke, a kid that we talked about last week, as a kid that has the ability to make big plays. And he finishes the game with just 11 carries, but 122 yards and a touchdown. 54-yard touchdown run. And then on defense, he has a 73-yard interception returned for a touchdown. So he's continuing to make big plays for Sandusky, so that's great to see. And then Carter Krause, the big winner in week one with the 242 rushing yards. Again, just 12 carries, but 118 yards, two scores, almost 10 yards a carry. So, you know, Sandusky did what they were supposed to do. They'll likely get another big win this week against Memphis, and they'll be rolling as they, you know, work their way through Greater Thumb East Conference play.
Mike, what do you make of this team? You know, the last 3 or 4 years, it's been Ubley, Harbor Beach, everybody else, and we've been looking for a third team in the in the East.
Just 2 years ago, they were league champs. Sandusky was in 2020.
Yeah.
Okay, so last 3 years. But anyways,
last 2 years.
Yeah. 2 years. You know what I'm getting at. It's been Ubley, Harbor Beach, everybody else for, you know, a couple of years now. Is Sandusky ready to make that leap? You know, we're going to talk about Marlette, too. They're off to a nice start.
Yeah.
Are these teams ready to challenge Harbor Beach and Ubley? I mean, they're doing what they're supposed to do right now.
Right.
But can they continue this when league play starts?
I think, well, obviously Marlette as well, but I think Sandusky is legit this year. What they do, they don't try and hide it, but they're good at it this year. You know, they run the wing tee like a lot of the teams, and this year they have the backs to do it. Not saying they haven't the past couple years, but Sandusky's kind of a team that goes in waves. You know, they'll have some down years, but then they'll build it back up, and then they'll have that big year. And I think that's this is going to be that big year. They have a ton of seniors.
Coach Jacobson, he's from that Bill Sweeney coaching tree, even back to Harbor Beach, you know, so they do kind of like an Ubley, you know what they're going to do.
Yep.
Can you stop it?
And they have a bunch of seniors along the offensive line, so that'll be key. They've been in the wing tee for a couple years now. The one thing that I thought was a big key in week one was the way the defense adjusted in the second half against Reese, because Reese moved the ball pretty well in the first half. Sandusky's defense made some adjustments. I think offensively Sandusky is right up there with the rest of these teams in the East, and it'll come down to the defense. Same thing could be said about Marlette. But I think this is the year. You know, before the season we talked, you know, we didn't know a whole lot about Sandusky, but we looked at their schedule and we're like, okay, 5-6 wins, they're in the playoffs. This is at least a playoff team. But I think after seeing what they've done in the running game the first 2 weeks, because that's the thing about the wing tee. You grind it out, and then you hit that big play. And the past couple years, we could see Sandusky grinding it out, but they never really hit on that big play. And now they're hitting on those big plays. And that's classic Sandusky football. I mean, we saw that with DeLauren Wedge, Martin Tovar, those kind of guys. Even before that, you know, the Chase Tuckers and, you know, the guys like that. So I think this might be the year for Sandusky. They're definitely a playoff team. We're going to find out if they're in the same conversation as Harbor Beach and Ubley.
We'll find out on September 29th, and in the following week, they play Harbor Beach and Ubley.
So or even by week four after Memphis, because they have Marlette.
Sandusky,
week four.
Marlette
too. And Bad Axe, an upstart Bad Axe team. Yep. So, you know, the East, you know, I know we just talked about the BWAC, but the East is looking like it's a little bit of a meat grinder.
The East has got a grind. There's five teams in the East, if I remember, or six teams, excuse me, in the East.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Memphis there's is four the only of them. Team there that's really not competitive.
Right? Yeah, there's four, really five teams in there that offensively can move the ball on anybody. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of how good is your defense and can you score touchdowns. You know, Bad Axe has moved the ball all year. They've struggled to find the end zone at times. Sandusky's, like you said, had the big plays, and it looks like Jackson Ranke is, you know,
he's a star.
A star breaking out his senior year, and he might be a dark horse sleeper guy, and you never know, in the TSA player of the year. Because he's going to keep having 150, 200-yard games.
And he's doing it on both sides of the ball. You know, he had the fumble recovery against Reese, a huge fumble recovery against Reese, the interception against Vassar. Obviously, this was, again, 3 years ago, but the last team to beat Ubley in the regular season, Sandusky.
It was Sandusky the COVID year.
Mm-hmm.
Sandusky Wolves, you were talking about the gauntlet after week three against Memphis. They'll have Marlette, Bad Axe, Harbor Beach, Ubley back-to-back there, and then their non-league games against Carroll Indianville Seawings. So if they can get at least two out of those four wins, those are some good playoff points, I think. If you can get one either against Harbor Beach or Ubley, that's a really good bonus, too. So it's going to be a tough run, though, because the Ubley Bearcats themselves, boy, they really stomped on last couple years, Lakers, you know, went pretty deep in the playoffs. They do play a cross-conference game against the Ubley Bearcats, and Paul, Ubley kind of stomped on that. Thanks to Clark Ramsey for the... Oh, by the way, Brandon Gibord, thank you for the stats for the Sandusky game also. Got to make a shout-out to him. But Clark Ramsey would cover that Ubley Lakers game. Sent us the stat report on that win. And, again, the Ubley Bearcats just ran away 42-0 in that game.
This game could have been a lot worse. Ubley got out to a 14-0 lead. Classic Ubley drive to start the game. Kanda Peruski caps off a 9-yard drive, 64 yards. He had a 17-yard touchdown. I think it was a 3-and-out. Evan Peruski broke a 53-yard beauty of a punt return. So it's 14-0, and the Ubley offense went a little stagnant, and we saw something we did not see last year. We saw Ubley have to punt the ball in the second quarter.
Oh.
And it was legit. You know, Lakers defense rose to the occasion, but it was kind of on Ubley, too. Coach Sweeney talked about the second quarter. He felt like lack of effort was part of the reason that they weren't scoring. They did get the ball back with about 3 minutes to play in the second quarter and capped that off with a Seth Maurer touchdown to make it 21-0. And then the third and fourth quarter was kind of academic at that point. But, one thing Coach Sweeney talked about, he said at halftime he challenged his guys. He was not happy with the effort in that second quarter. And then they came out, responded very well. A couple of classic Ubley drives really put the game away. And he was very well pleased with the effort in the second half. And, Eddie, you can read off the stats, but one thing that stands out is it was 23 yards rushing, something like that. But look at how the rushing yards were dispersed. It was a total balanced effort. And this is a big change from week one, where it was just Kanda Peruski and Evan Peruski. Luke Vollmering got involved. Evan Peruski did his thing. Kanda Peruski, it was a combination of everybody.
You had a healthy Seth Maurer this week.
When that offense is balanced like that, Ubley is almost impossible to beat at around this area.
Yeah, kind of grinded it out there at the half, just 21-0. Could have been maybe more, but Lakers did try to stand up to them. Six different players here, JB, rushing-wise. Nobody went over 100 yards.
Yeah, not a single person went over 100 yards. Nobody with more than 11 carries is a thing. So you had Seth Maurer lead the way with 11 carries, 59 yards, and a touchdown. And then Luke Vollmering with 10. Evan Peruski with 9. Kanda Peruski with 6. Colton Oswald was 4. And Colin Ostasi with 3. So like Paul said, I mean, five running backs and a quarterback that just – carries dispersed right away through. It's really a guessing game of who's going to touch the ball. And then you want to talk about a guessing game of six guys that can carry the ball for the Bearcats. Well, then let alone all the fakes they do in the backfield, it really becomes a guessing game of who's got the ball every single play. And when you're going to have guys with no more than 11 carries and balanced all the way through 70 yards to 40 yards for every rush running back, there's, like Paul said, up here, I don't know a team that can slow them down. Because they still had 323 yards rushing.
Another thing that stands out, and you can look at my pictures on Quad End Productions, is some of the blocking that's happening from the backs in the backfield. Kanda Peruski made the move from the offensive line to the backfield. And a lot of that is he can run the ball, as we've seen. He's already broken for 3 touchdowns already in 2 games. But the blocking that he brings from the backfield, from that fullback position, is going to be so key for Ubley, not only through these 2 games, but as they move forward. He's like a lineman in the backfield, and it's been amazing to see.
And it's the same thing with Luke Vollmer. He played tight end, and then Ubley's offense is a tight end. You're just an offensive lineman, really, is all you are, that can block. So he's a halfback now that can block. So they got 2 former offensive linemen in the backfield blocking for Seth Maurer and Evan Peruski, who have both been quiet through the first 2 weeks. Luke Vollmer had the big week this past week with 2 touchdowns, led the way with 78 yards. Kanda Peruski obviously had the big week last week with 3 touchdowns for 140 yards. So now it's just a matter of time before what we saw last year with Seth Maurer and Evan Peruski, for those 2 guys to get going, and you get those 2 guys going, this offense is going to be potent.
Coach Sweeney said he thought he'd have to use Evan Peruski 15 times to run in this game. He only ran him 9 times, and that's fine. Coach Sweeney, Evan Peruski, these guys aren't about numbers. They're about one thing, wins, and however you can get those wins. And is keeping Evan Peruski to 9 carries, that's a great stat for Ubley because he was banged up all last year, and he's kind of your – you know, break glass in case of emergency factor and run him to the outside. So, so far, so good for Ubley. You know, they're not what they were last year, but they're still pretty darn good. This offensive line is a work in progress. Outside of Mitchell Foote, this is a brand new offensive line, and that's the thing that Coach Sweeney's really been working with this group is just getting this offensive line together. But, you know, it kind of helps, you know, when they've been winning and still producing over 300 rushing yards a game.
I want to give a credit to Anthony Sweeney, the new defensive coordinator for Ubley. Coach Becker steps down, retires officially as Ubley. He was there for, I don't know, 20 years, and Ubley's always had a great defense. And Coach Anthony Sweeney just comes in, and this defense throws a shutout against Lakers, who had the best offense in the West last year, holding them to just
138 yards total offense.
91 yards on the ground rushing, and 72 of that came from Jay Sears, who we all know is a very good athlete for the Lakers.
You got to point that out. He did get 72 yards. The total offense for Lakers is 138 yards, so that's a good defense by Ubley, but still, 72 yards against this, what we are starting to believe this is still a good Ubley team from last year. Pretty negotiable. I mean, it's not bad.
That's absolutely acceptable when you look at the total yards. There was no sustained drives for Lakers in this game. They never threatened to score at all. And, you know, JB just touched on it. You know, Coach Anthony Sweeney, Coach Matt Mychek, Austin Drake, and others have really all pulled together to, you know, fill that role left by Jim Becker, who was widely considered one of the best defensive coordinators in the area, and so far so good. You know, they allowed the 14 points to Clarkston Everest in week one, but that came in
the fourth quarter off of fumbles
with all the backups in. So really, this starting defense has not been scored upon yet.
Jay Sears, though, he had a lot of yards punting wise, 170 yards.
Oh, he's a fantastic punter, a fantastic kicker. We just really didn't get to see much of that on display.
No, you got to see plenty of punting on display.
I don't know if you want to talk about Lakers right now, but I mean they are they're at a crossroads of their season right now at 0-2. They've suffered convincing losses to Millington and Ubley. And
if you're going to lose,
those are quality opponents.
If you're going to lose two games, but those are two that
you want to get some positives out of those games. And quite frankly, there's no positives if you're Lakers. There's no positives to take out of this game. I mean, they got soundly beaten in every aspect of the game, and Coach Lavasser and his staff addressed that after the game. They're challenging these guys to you know, rally and put something together. Lucky for them, they go home and face Vassar next week, this week. So that should get them on the right track. Yes. But they knew they had a, you know, uphill battle to climb with Millington and Ubley, but you want to have some things that you can hang your hat on, and really not much there so far for Lakers.
Jay Sears, just a workhorse, 47 yards passing, also on 16 attempts. Also returned punts, quarterback, rusher. Does it all for the Lakers right
Great
now.
Great athlete.
You just can't have one single player taking care of it all, because Ubley already knows, or any other team, okay, who do we focus on? Jay Sears.
And that's Ubley's motto on defense is take away your best player and beat us somewhere else, and they took away Jay Sears. I mean, he had a solid night, but you hold him to 72 yards and just 47 yards on passing for 6-16. Not a single other player did anything to beat them.
And the kid was running for his life for the night. I mean, those yards were scramble yards, broken plays, and when he... When the play ended, he was getting punished. You know, no doubt he woke up Friday morning pretty sore.
So up next for the Ubley Bearcats, Steve, we'll take on the Marlette Red Raiders. We will come back and talk about the Marlette Red Raiders win also that you had covered on a Friday. So we'll talk about that.
And Mike. Mike was there too.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
I care.
The Lakers.
Eddie doesn't.
What's that?
No, you're good. Keep going, man.
Okay, the Lakers themselves in week 3. We'll have a game against Vassar and followed by Unionville, Cebu, and Carroll, so they could bounce back here.
They should win their next 3 games.
So we'll see. We'll see. And then there's Reese Cassidy and then Humber Beach and Bad Axe to wrap up. the season for the Lakers. We'll be right back here on Sportsline Radio.
Lanes in Sandusky invites you to join the team. Get active and meet new friends. Fall bowling team registration is going on now. There are openings for ladies leagues on Monday evening and Wednesday morning, men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evening, and mixed leagues for Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights. Beginners are welcome. For more information, call 810-648-9860 or stop at Liberty Lanes. Oh yes, Liberty Lanes is also hiring for all positions. Stop in and apply at Liberty Lanes, West Park, Sandusky.
It's September. The leaves are beginning to change, the evenings are cooler, and Friday nights mean high school football. At Thumb Cellular, we're celebrating this special time of year by sharing some great savings with you. During the month of September, all Samsung Galaxy phones are on sale, with some marked down $370 from their regular retail price. But that's not where the savings end. They're also hosting an accessory sale. Spend $30 on any combination of accessories and save $10. Take your pick of chargers, cases, wireless speakers, headsets, screen protectors, and more. If it's an accessory at Thumb Cellular, you'll save $10 when you spend $30. But hurry, these savings are only valid during the month of September. Go to thumbcellular.com/deals for more info or visit your local office in Bad Axe, Caro, Pigeon, or Sandusky. Terms and conditions apply. Speak with a customer care representative for details. Offers valid through September 30th, 2023.
Can't wait to communicate.
Attention, fellow Thumbbillies. If you're tired of changing the radio station every time a car dealer starts screaming at you about this month's awesome deal, or if you're tired of all the games, gimmicks, and unrealistic lease deals that hardly anyone qualifies for, and if you're looking for a born and raised local sales guy that has built his reputation and career on being totally transparent and taking care of his customers before and after their sale, well, look no further than More Motors, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Caro, Michigan. Denny King, the King of Cars, is here to assist you with your automotive needs. I'm born and raised in the Thumb. For almost 30 years, I've been loving what I do, taking care of customers and making friends along the way. So give me a shout, stop in and ask for me, and get the best deal possible, all while enjoying no pressure, no games, no gimmicks, and a change of pace from the average dealers. This has been the King of Cars again, Denny King at More Motors in Caro, and I can't wait to earn your business on your next vehicle and show you why you get more at More Motors.
All right, welcome back to Thumb Sportsline Radio High School Sports Show here on WMIC AM 660 95.3 FM. A whole 15 minutes spent on Ubley. In the Lakers.
Well, when you got one of the best teams in the area, it's hard not to talk about them.
Well, Ubley Bearcats will move on to take on the Marlette Red Raiders. Our game of the week, I do believe, for Sandlight Broadcasting, 92.5 FM, also streaming online at sandlightbroadcasting.com. All our stations are streaming, by the way. And I'll try to upload the game by the end of the night or the next day. I think I already did from the last one, yeah.
Yep.
So, all right. Did I? Yeah, sometimes I forget. So this show will be uploaded because it's recording in the other studio mic. So
perfect.
Took your advice on that. Just do it over in the other studio. All right.
That's why I'm the host.
That's right, you are.
All the great ideas come from Mike.
The host is. Thank you to Clark Ramsey and WLBW Sports for the Ubley Lakers stats, by the way. So you did this game, Jonathan. The Ubley Bearcats will meet at Marlette, right?
Yes, it is at Marlette. Yeah, you'll be doing this game. Watch out for the pesky pole. Wait, that's Fenway Park.
Oh, yeah.
But Marlette does have one of their own.
Well, the Marlette Red Raiders are pesky against the USA Patriots. 50-14 was the win. It was 22-6 at the end of the first. And then we had 38-6 at halftime. Six more points in the third and the fourth quarter by Marlette. But then that's, you know, just going through the motions there and just taking care of the ball. 8 points for USA in the fourth quarter, the win 50-14 for the Marlette Red Raiders. Tell me about the game there, Jonathan. You were there.
Oh, so was Mike.
Oh, okay. Mike, how about you, Mike?
Jeez. No, it's all you, Jonathan.
I guess I'll take this one, even though Marlette's your
your specialty. Really, for the Marlette Red Raiders, I mean, it was just an absolute clobber fest at the beginning. The first three drives, they touched the ball. USA turned it over. They went first play. Tyler Isadoric, 60-yard touchdown. Then he responded with a 34-yard touchdown in the second carry.
Returning player from last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and Marlette, like we said in our preseason, returned 99% of his rushing attack. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they showed it Friday night. Quentin Sarton then got in the action. He had a beautiful, I believe it was like a 37-yard touchdown run. Mm-hmm. Logan Malloy, he had himself a game on defense. Mm-hmm. So it was just a complete game for Marlette. The only thing I criticized about Marlette was their penalties.
Yep.
And you're going to agree with me, Mike. They had way too many mental mistakes. Mm-hmm. And they weren't holding penalties when you're blocking downfield and you're trying to, you know, make room for your running backs. They're false starts. They're offsides. They're unsportsmanlike conducts. The ones that really kill drives or extend drives for the other team. And if you want to beat an Hubley and a Harbor Beach, you can't have those because those two teams play clean football. Mm-hmm. And that's really, I think, Marlette's limitation this year is going to be their mental side of the game. How few mistakes will they make to really allow them going on? But besides the point, I mean, they went out there Friday night and they absolutely took care of business against USA. USA had some success there in the second quarter, mm-hmm. or late first quarter, I think it was, because we had like
they got their touchdown.
It was a 45-minute first quarter.
That was tough, yeah.
They had some success there in the first quarter. They broke off a big run. Mm-hmm. That got called back due to a block in the back.
Yep.
And then they had a huge pass play that got called back due to offsetting unsportsmanlike conducts, I believe.
That one didn't get called back. There was a sideline warning for USA.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. There was a lot of confusion
There was a lot going on.
You were down on the sideline, so you got a little more intel on that than we did up in the booth. We were kind of ghosted.
Yeah. I know we've talked a lot about Ubley and they're the favorites in the East and everything, but let me just play devil's advocate for a little bit.
Go for it. I love hearing these.
I'm the Sanilac County guy.
This
I'm
is
the
your
Marlette
job.
Guy. We talked about it in the preseason, how Marlette has a lot of offensive weapons and how they won't necessarily have a kid in the conversation for player of the year. Tyler Isadoric, 8 carries, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. Logan Malloy, 108 yards and 2 touchdowns on 7 carries. Quentin Sarton, 101 yards, 2 touchdowns on 9 carries. Their offensive line, they lost one starter from last season, and two starters from last season, and they've replaced them with two sophomores that are arguably better.
They're extremely young on the offensive line, and they're big on the offensive line. Those sophomores are 6'2", 220 pounds. There's some big boys out there for the Red
Raiders.
Here's
what I'll tell you. When I talked to Coach Sweeney from Ubley, he's very concerned about Marlette.
As he should be.
Years past, they've kind of run right through Marlette. And he's like, going over there, Ubley's had problems over there. Harbor mm-hmm. Beach has had problems over there for whatever mm-hmm. reason. Mm-hmm. And,
I've had problems there.
Ubley
as a player, right?
Yep.
Okay. Marlette has Ubley's full attention. Mm-hmm. Should be a decent game.
And Marlette, I think, is a team that can beat Ubley with the speed on the edge.
Yes.
Tyler Isadoric, nobody could catch him from USA. Logan Malloy's another guy, and then Quentin Sarton's just an athlete that you put at quarterback. He's not a quarterback. He's an athlete at quarterback that runs that read option
and
beautifully for the Red
Raiders. He's in his second year starting at quarterback, and the improvements that he's made. He was a good quarterback last year, but he looked fantastic last week. But I think one of the things that really stood out was the defense for Marlette, because they have notoriously struggled against the wing tee. And granted, USA did move the ball on them on that one drive. They scored in the fourth quarter, but that was with the backups in for Marlette. They looked pretty good against the wing tee. Now, granted, USA's wing tee
different than
Ubley's wing tee.
And USA threw the ball a lot out of the wing tee, 16 times.
Yes.
And Ubley can throw the ball if they want to. He can. Ethan Peruski can throw the ball if he has the opportunity. We've seen it in the past.
So, yeah, they'd rather not.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd rather run the ball. But
Paul, you mentioned something like what Ubley did to beat Lakers is you take out the best player. Marlette has 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 different good players for Ubley to really focus on here, Mike.
Well, Marlette really didn't have to throw the ball against USA, but Aaron Bauer is a great tight end. He's a great blocking tight end. He's a big target in the red zone. The thing to think about defensively, the starting linebacker, Tristan King, he was out against USA due to injury. They had a freshman starting at linebacker.
And he played, what was his name? I called it a couple times up in the booth. I can't remember, but he played.
Owen Anderson.
Yeah, he played
five
very
tackles.
Well.
Denny, Coach Lester said, kind of an up and down performance. That's what you're expecting from a freshman, but you get your senior linebacker and Tristan King back. That's going to make a huge difference defensively. But the other thing that stood out for the defense, 6 turnovers.
Yeah. Well, and I think
3 interceptions, 3 fumbles, that you're not going to force 6 turnovers against Ubley, obviously.
But you'd be lucky to get one.
You get one or two, and then, you know, you get the ball back in the hands of your offensive playmakers.
And
that could be an advantage.
We have yet to see, I want to say, Marlette's secret weapon on offense. He played
Wesley Chapin.
Well, him, but I was thinking of another guy that came in at quarterback for a second. He's an absolute athlete. Trey Lester.
Trey Lester,
he played a couple drives at quarterback for Marlette, and he's a guy I think when they get into a pinch, they're just going to put him on offense, and they're going to find him a way to get the ball. So you got Wesley Chapin and Trey Lester that have been underutilized for the Red Raiders on offense so far this year, and they are two X factors for the Red Raiders.
What I like when Trey comes in at quarterback, that means you put Quentin Sarton out at receiver.
Oh, my goodness. I said that up in the booth. I'm like, you got a 6'4" wide receiver out on the edge that can run now. I mean, Quentin Sarton's built like a college wide receiver. Mm-hmm. 6'4", tall, lanky, can jump. And you just think about what they could do if they wanted to just put Trey Lester at quarterback. Now, Sarton's, I think, a better runner than Lester right now at this point in each of their careers, respectfully, with Sarton, I believe, he's a senior.
Sarton's a senior.
And Lester's just a sophomore. Yeah. So, obviously, Trey's got some learning to do at quarterback, but I like what Denny did there. The third drive of the game, pinned in their own, deep in their own red zone territory after a USA punt or turnover on downs, excuse me. They said, "All right, sophomore, it's your ball game. We're up 22-0 here in the first quarter. Let's see what you can do." Now they went 3-and-out, but he showed some positivities, and that's a good time to get a young buck into the game because all of a sudden Sarton gets hurt. Mm-hmm. It's Trey Lester's show really then at quarterback, and he's one of those guys I like to see him at wide receiver or at running back or that wing back. Get him and Chapin in the game because then you don't know what speedster is going to get the ball going around the edge.
Right. And Trey Lester, he stood out defensively. You mentioned Logan Malloy. He had 9 tackles and an interception. Trey Lester had 10 tackles and an interception. So his specialty is more on the defensive side of the ball.
But he's just an athlete.
He's an athlete. So my overall thoughts for Marlette Ubley, I don't think the Marlette defense is quite there to be able to stop an Ubley offense, which that's not saying anything disrespectful about Marlette's defense. That's more
a credit to Ubley's offense.
Yeah. So get a couple turnovers if you can, and then I think the offense is good enough to get into a shootout with Ubley.
But you can't have the mental mistakes if you're Marlette.
Right.
Exactly.
That is something that Denny talked about in the post-game speech. You know, no more talking to the officials, no more
the one in the fourth quarter that when the game's out of reach, that kind of stuff can't happen if you're Marlette. Because those are the times where you do it now in the fourth quarter, you build that reputation, officials talk to each other, they know what to look out for. You do that in the fourth quarter of a blowout, and you say something in the first quarter of a competitive game, that you might find a trigger-happy official that will throw that flag right away, and you might not find yourself in the game, you know, after that.
Do you know how many penalties Ubley's committed in 2 weeks? None.
Zero.
And Marlette had, what, 6, I think?
So,
I
mean, 7 for 70 yards.
You know, it shows a level of discipline, you know, and that discipline that can lead to a score.
And I'll say this, Marlette's got more athletes than Ubley right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
I'm excited about this game.
Thanks. Yeah, you're hyping this game up for me.
As we should. It's Eddie's game of the week. Marlette's got way more athletes, but it comes down to...
And it's at Marlette, so that helps.
Comes down to discipline for Marlette. And is this the week their defense takes a step forward? We've never questioned Marlette's offense. Even when I was in school, Marlette's with Brad Schaub and Connor Thomas.
If this gets into a shootout, Ubley wins this game. Simple as that, because Marlette won't be able to stop Ubley. Marlette's going to have to come up with a few stops and take advantage of every single.
And this will put a true test to Ubley's new defensive coordinator of facing an offense that's had great success so far this year.
Yeah, Marlette had trouble stopping the run against USA. 32 rushes, 146 yards. Passing wise, Davis Peters for USA, 11-19, 132 yards, but he had 3 interceptions.
So you're not going to force those 3 interceptions against Ubley.
Yeah. But you look at that stat line, how many times was the USA quarterback just getting it off at the last second?
He was under pressure, but at the same time, if you're Marlette, you're concerning how wide open USA's receivers were running time. Because USA's receivers were running open, and Peters he missed a couple of them that could have went for big plays because they had a couple big plays. With Ubley's weapons at receiver with a 6'2" Brett Mueller and a 6'1" Ryan Learman, that they move pretty good for tall, lanky guys, and you add Peruski's ability to get to the edge and throw the ball, that's a concern to add to Marlette's defense. Not only have the first they got to stop the wing tee, then they got to worry about Ubley's running, but that's a little bit of concern there, what USA did last week passing against them.
Our game of the week, it is Marlette's hosting Ubley Bearcats, 6:30 p.m. Friday nights on WBGV 92.5 FM, Memphis and Sandusky. The next game we're going to talk about is Harbor Beach, big win over Cass City. Harbor Beach will have Bad Axe coming in week three, too. So we're going to talk about what Harbor Beach did against Cass City. Of course, they got the win. So when we come back, it was a 28-14 win for Harbor Beach over Cass City. When we come back here on Thumb Sports Line Radio.
Need to update your furniture? Menards is your one-stop shop with all of the latest furniture styles at the lowest prices. Plus a great selection in stock, ready to take home today. So go ahead, relax in a recliner, get cozy in a loveseat, or simply unwind with a comfy sofa. Need more seats? We've got sectionals too. Get 11% off your new furniture set now at Menards. Good through September 10th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
We're turning up the heat with summer pandemonium at the ABS Tech Team. Head to your nearest Tech Team location in Pigeon or Sandusky and fire up the level of your computer security today. The Tech Team has exclusive pricing on Panda Security, a leading provider of virus and malware detection and prevention in the tech industry. With Panda Security, your computer is always up to date on fighting the latest cybersecurity threats, all while running quietly in the background with no impact on your PC's performance. Bring your computer in or have the Tech Team install Panda Security remotely from the comfort of your home. All new Panda subscriptions also come with a $5 discount for a limited time. Don't go unprotected. Give the Tech Team a call today at 888-282-4943 or head to the ABS Tech Team store near you. Terms and conditions apply. The ABS Tech Team, serving the Thumb's technology needs since 2008.
All right, welcome back to Thumb Sports Line Radio, high school sports show, with Mike Gallagher, the Sanlac County News Thumb Tugger Sports contributor, Jonathan Bisher, and in the studio also, Paul Adams making the long drive here.
I'm just a contributor now?
You're more than that.
That's what you just called me.
You are a contributor. So, also, we also have Paul Adams from the Huron County View, and on the phone with us from the Tuscola County Advertiser, Scotty B., Scott Bosby. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm a contributor as well.
You are.
Contribute.
Yes.
Smart into this show.
So we just talked about the...
It's you guys. No.
We just talked about the Marlette win. I'm about 5 minutes away from my first fantasy football draft here soon. We talked about Marlette winning over USA. They got Ubley. What's your take on this game here real quick?
Marlette and Ubley?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
take my side, Scotty. Marlette wins. No, come on.
And that's Scotty B., former sports contributor.
I'm obviously going to root for Marlette in this one, just as my team, but in a shakeup in the Thumb area. But if I'm being realist about it, I still think Ubley has the upper hand in this battle. From what I've seen, I Marlette's much improved, but I just don't think that they are going to be able to go head-to-head with Ubley and come out victorious. I think that's in Marlette, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so at least home field cooking, I guess that can help them out a little bit, but I still don't think it's going to be enough. I'm going to take Ubley, but I'm going to root for Marlette as one of my teams.
Okay, so we're going to next move on to the Harbor Beach Pirates. They get the win over Cass City. Jonathan Bisher, Thumb Tugger Sports, in this game. This is a highlight game also. Harbor Beach will have another one against Bad Axe, but first they had to get through Cass City. Non-league game here, but it's still a big win. Could be some worthy playoff points down the road there also, Paul or Jonathan.
Yeah, Harbor Beach, Cass City, that was kind of, I thought, one of the marquee games this week in the Greater Thumb Conference. Crossover matchup between two of the teams, each in their respective divisions, that have a chance of winning their division, Harbor Beach in the East, Cassidy in the West. Both teams 1-0, playing some solid opponents week one, and it came down to the wire. It was an absolute dogfest. I mean, what you expect when you see these two teams, Harbor Beach in their wing tee. Cassidy came out in not their traditional tee formation. They came out with a split receiver, two backs a lot of time, wing back each side, kind of like a single wheel, like what Bad X is running again. And it really came down to the end, and it was two big plays for Harbor Beach. That was the difference in this game. Actually, three big plays, one on defense, two on offense. And credit Coach Shelkey. In this game, he just said, I'm going to put the ball in my best athlete's hands, Caden Buchholz and Benson Harper, and said to the sophomores, get me a win. And they did just that. And Coach Cathrell, I thought at times, got in the fourth quarter, got a little pass happy, a little too early. And that really was the difference in the game and why Harbor Beach came in with a 28-14 win.
To me, what stands out is, you know, Cassidy, we've heard all offseason, everybody's coming back, and we expected him to be a juggernaut, held under 100 yards rushing by Harbor Beach. Now, Scotty, you can touch on this because this is your team, but that to me is an alarming stat, because I thought this Cassidy team was primed to have a massive season rushing the ball. Landon Schott was going to have maybe an outside chance at player of the year. And, it, you know, through 2 weeks, you know, there's still everything in front of them. But to me, that's the most alarming stat, is held under 100 yards rushing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to point out that JB said dog fest. So all
I wasn't going to correct him.
A dog fest sounds kind of fun.
A lot of dogs.
Yeah.
Pet.
Yeah.
Or are we talking about hot dogs, like no. Tribune?
Yeah. Just
or cheeseburgers. Or mustard. Or ketchup.
Yeah. All right. Back on track.
Yeah.
Or Lugos.
What?
Or Lugos. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. See, now you got me tight.
That's an Eddie Fury show for you.
Landon Schott, you know, he jumped out of the gate huge in week number one against Bad Axe. And I thought it was just going to be business as usual all season long with that run game in Cassidy. And, and Paul, you know, going back to it, I think that was a huge, huge thing when I got stats for Cassidy Harbor Beach, was seeing how they were able to score, Cassidy was, and how much the run game really did not work against that Harbor Beach defense. And that's huge. And, you know, that was definitely a battle going down to the wire, and then Harbor Beach was able to turn the tables big time in the fourth quarter and just run away with that one. So, you know, I going into that game, if you would have gave me house money and would have said, hey, you have to bet it on one team, I think I would have just put it right down the middle, because I didn't know who to pick in that game. I thought it was going to be a heck of a battle. I was, you know, kind of leaning Cassidy, but at the same time, I was like, you know, I know better than to pick against the Harbor Beach squad after hearing who was coming back and the style of play and all that good stuff. But, you know, I was a little hesitant on it, but, you know, I think that's a huge win for Harbor Beach early on in the season.
You want to give the yardage?
Yeah, I can run through it. We talked about Cassidy being held to what I have, just 88 yards on 31 carries for the Redhawks. Carter Patrick through the air, 5 of 12 for 31 yards. It was Riker Wallace with three catches for 23 yards, and Tyler Cumper with one catch for 8 yards. So just 119 total yards of Cassidy on offense. So not only was the running game non-existent, pretty much the whole offense was non-existent. And Scott was, I guess, and Paul, you were there last week. Did Cassidy run that single wing tee against Bad Axe last week?
They were running more of a traditional tee against Bad Axe.
So clearly Coach Cathrell saw something against Harbor Beach to go to the single wing with the receiver split out wide. Obviously, it didn't work very well against him. I was surprised to see that. I thought we'd see Cassidy in their traditional T formation with Riker Wallace and Landon Schott just pounding it between the tackles. Credit to Harbor Beach's defense. Running between the tackles was not there for Cassidy this week. And if you go over to the Harbor Beach side of the ball, you had Benson Harper, 173 yards on 16 carries. Shea Woodkey, he had 14 yards on 24 carries. Caden Buchholz was held in check because he took a few sacks through on the ground, but through the year he was 7 of 11 for 76 yards. Benson Harper had two touchdowns, 40 yards and 42 yards respectively. Caden Buchholz's two rushing touchdowns came on quarterback sneaks from 1 yard. Receiving for Harbor Beach, it was Benson Harper, of course, four carries for 46 yards. Dustin Emmerich, two carries, 17 yards. He was the young sung hero on the defensive side of the ball. When Cassidy had the ball with the lead, he forced a strip sack of Patrick. Harbor Beach recovers at the two-yard line. Two plays later, Caden Buchholz is in the end zone to give him the lead.
I just want to touch on Harbor Beach real quick. A great win for Harbor Beach, but you can't just have two guys that are doing all your heavy lifting. And it's Caden Buchholz and Benson Harper and nobody else. I mean, there has to be contributions. We just talked about Marlette and all the weapons, maybe more weapons than Ubley has. We talked about Sandusky earlier, all the weapons that they have. Harbor Beach has two weapons, and they're really, really good, but there's not much to go around that. So that as the season progresses, interested to see what Coach Shelkey can develop around Harper and Buchholz, who are studs by all means.
Oh, by far.
But they need to get more out of other guys because the defensive coordinators in this area are too good, and they're going to take that away from you eventually.
And when Harbor Beach is in the tee, you got Carson Kramer and Shea Woodkey in the backfield. And Woodkey, through the first 2 weeks, has kind of been their hard running back off the left side, I believe, off the right halfback. And Carson Kramer, he's been pretty much non-existent for the first 2 weeks. I think he's only got like 8 carries through 2 games. So nothing really brewing there. Shea Woodkey, he runs hard, but Cassidy, good job keying on him. And if it wasn't for the 2 carries for Benson Harper of 80 yards, he's kind of held in check then like he was last week against Mooney. So like you said, Paul, they got to find that third guy really to complement these two, because when they face an Ubley or a Sandusky or a Marlette, they're going to take away what you do best, which is obviously Caden Buchholz and Benson Harper running on the edge. And then it's who's your third option to beat us? And right now, Harbor Beach doesn't have a third option.
All right, we're going to take a break there. So Harbor Beach has this week in week 3.
They start league play against Bad Axe at home.
Okay, and then we'll talk about Bad Axe when we come back. We have our news coming up near, folks, and I am on the clock right now for my draft. So, okay, we'll be right back here. We've got our news, and we'll come back with the whole crew here on Thumb Sports Line Radio.
Your source for local news, up-to-the-minute weather, and so much more. This is AM 660, WMIC Sandusky, and 95.3 FM, W237 EQ Sandusky.
Here are 5 good reasons for high school multi-sport participation. Fewer overuse injuries. Less opportunity for emotional burnout. Exposure to different kids and coaches. Exposure to different roles. And learning to compete better. Being a multi-sport participant can help a kid become a more well-rounded person. Multi-sport participation is cross-training for life. Learn more at the MHSAA website. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association promoting the value and values of educational athletics.
You on that game, JB?
Still in John.
All right, welcome back to Sportsline, Thumb Sportsline Radio, high school sports show. Eddie Fury of you, along with Scott Bowlesby from the Tuscola County Advertiser and WIVDL 92.1 Let's Talk Sports and sports coverage, live play-by-play. Paul Adams from the Huron County View. Also, Jonathan Bisher from Thumb Tugger Sports and frequent guest and contributor on Sand Lake Broadcasting. And also, we have Mike Gallagher from the Sand Lake County News, the actual host of Sportsline. On a Labor Day Monday, by the way. So, we are back here. We are in the Greater Thumb Conference still. And we left off on Harbor Beach and Cass City. A good win there for Harbor Beach. A setback for Cass City. But then a bounce back for Bad Axe Hatchets. Getting a win over the Reese Rockets, who, I did terrible in my picks this week. I have fallen down to the basement right now. I believe so, right?
I believe you're at 25 wins, and that's not good, Eddie.
After a good week one.
Yes.
I'm at 26.
I'm at 28.
29 here.
Yeah. Oh, did you go perfect this week?
Yeah.
Oh, him and Seth, so I might as well just quit right now.
Now you just go for upset picks only.
Well, I wanted to quit, and you wanted to quit too, yeah. So no, I'm not going to quit.
Let me out of this.
Well, it's going to be another tough week of picks again here, guys. So Bad Axe Hatchets getting a good win over the Reese Rockets. Great bounce back, although Bad Axe is in the East. Mm-hmm. But they get a good win over Reese 22-16 in that game. Scotty, tell me about this game. You own a team. What happened in that one?
I don't know much. kind of talking to JV off the air that it looked like it started off with Bad Act kind of jumping out, and I thought, wow, this is going to get ugly for Reese. The next thing you know, I look, and Reese was battling back, and Reese was looking to take the lead, and just not enough time for the Rockets, and they start 0-2. And you know, I know it's 0-2, but it's been a season so far that it could be 2-0 for Reese the way that they've been playing. So they're right there trying to figure things out, trying to tweak things a little bit. And I think that now that we're getting into conference play, you know, they're going to be turning that corner a little bit. And I expect to see some wins coming up for that Reese Rocket squad.
Paul, you mentioned that this is still a pretty, you think this is a decent Bad Axe shuffleball team. Not as good as the Ubley who, you know, they played against already. No. So, but they're going to be a middler, right?
If you go back to week one, Bad Axe moved the ball consistently on Kansas City all night long. Actually ended with the same amount of rushing yards, which within about 5 yards of each other. So that, to me, says Bad Axe could go and they can move. Can they finish? Well, they did finish against Reese at least enough times to win this game. But just a few stats from Coach Gibbert, Nick Gibbert, my neighbor, who won his first game. As coach, Alex Andrich, who's taken over quarterback duties, 107 yards, 16 carries, touchdown, 2-for-4 passing, 32 yards. Nathan Pawlowski, these guys have formed a great duo in the backfield, 28 carries, 98 yards, one touchdown. And then Logan Miles had 7 carries, a touchdown, and had both of the catches for 32 yards. So I think pretty well balanced. They've gone back to what they know. Bad Axe has been traditionally a single wing tee. This is kind of a modified single wing, a little bit of a spread, but the players feel comfortable in it. And through 2 weeks, they've moved the ball on both of their opponents, and I think they'll just continue to get better. Are they what they were last year? Probably not, but they're going to be a pain in somebody's side all year. If you look at Bad Axe on your schedule and thinking it's an easy win, scheduling them for your homecoming, you're probably sorely mistaken.
Yeah, they'll have Harbor Beach this week, then followed by Memphis, Sandusky, Ubley, Marlette, Unionville, Seboing, and Lakers also. Now, Bad Axe is in the Greater Thumb East. You know, they switch spots with Cass City. You know, this Reese Rockets team also kind of surprising. I thought they had enough to maybe at least beat Bad Axe here, Scotty. You were at the game against Sandusky, and then they showed a lot of fight against the Sandusky Wolves in week one.
Yeah, they did, and you know, like I said, they did very well. Second half was really the downward turn for that Reese squad, but the complete opposite this week. The second half was the upward turn for them. So they just need to figure out how to put two halves together and get wins. And I think with the USA squad that's down their luck right now this week in the Sugar Bowl. At home for Reese, I think there's no better time than this week for them to get that first win for Coach Kerry Messing this year and, you know, get things figured out and march on into the Greater Thumb West. As the Greater Thumb West has shown this season, you know, the football is down this year, I guess you could say. Team's been struggling. Vance gets shut up by Sandusky. Reese is 0-2 right now. Carroll's got a brand new coach. Lakers 0-2 right now. So it's definitely, there's a little bit of a cloud over the Greater Thumb West right now. So now's the time for some teams to figure it out, build up the programs and get some stuff figured out as we get deeper into the season. I mean, we're only two weeks in. So, you know, there's no better time than now to get things situated and get things figured out.
Can Bad Axe sneak up on Harbor Beach or not?
Bad Axe will have Harbor Beach's full attention, but I don't think we'll be able to generate enough points, but Bad Axe will move the ball on Harbor Beach. There's no question about that, but no, Harbor Beach will win this game. Trust me, they're not going to fall into that trap looking ahead towards Ubley, which is in week four. Harbor Beach will win, but I think Bad Axe puts up a decent fight, probably similar to what happened in Cass City in week one, you know, just kind of got worn down towards the end of that game. But, you know, Bad Axe will move the ball.
You know, two interesting games there in the East because Bad Axe is in the East. You know, they're going to have Harbor Beach and then Marlette and Ubley, you know?
Yeah, this first week, if all goes as we plan, we'll set up for a great week four, which no matter what happens, will always be a great week four with Ubley and Harbor Beach squaring off. But like Paul said, Bad Axe has got Harbor Beach full attention. We know Marlette's got Ubley's full attention. Neither of them are looking forward to week four. Bad X is a new team to the East. You never know what might happen now. These teams have played each other for the past 20 years.
Bad
so
X
no,
and Ubley are our traditional rivals.
Yeah, it's nothing new for
them
playing each other.
They've actually played like over 50 times. So,
something like that. Yeah. And Marlette and Ubley have played how many times? Countless times here recently. So just because of the rearranging of the Greater Thumb East and the West, the last year of the Greater Thumb Conference, it's nothing new. It's the same teams, just a little bit different alignment. But there are some enticing games this week. But I, like we said earlier, I think Sandusky takes care of business against Memphis, no problem. Harbor Beach should take care of business against Bad X, and Ubley should take care of business against Marlette, setting up for that week four showdown. But with that being said, Marlette will move the ball. All they need to do is have a big play or two, and they could upset Harbor Beach. Marlette's got weapons galore, Mikey. They could very easily get in a shootout, and you never know. With their athletes, we've seen wilder things happen.
All right, so the Greater Thumb Wild West is wide open now, Scotty. I know that Cassidy kind of has an edge right now, although they had a setback with their loss against Harbor Beach. Now, Reese, like we said, we do think they have enough offense. Will they have enough against Unionville Seaboing in week three? This is like this is a league game here, so.
Yeah, and I think, you know, obviously with the added Sugar Bowl, on top of it, I think it just, pardon the pun, but it's a little sweeter when you get that win over USA with the Sugar Bowl attached to it. I think that they do, and yeah, I do think Cassidy does have the slight edge in the West right now. I haven't seen them in person, but from what I've heard, and like Paul said earlier, I think it's going to be Laker Cassidy battling it out for the Greater Thumb West title, and those two teams, no love lost there, so they'll definitely kick the crap out of each other to win that title. So it should be a fun battle as we get down towards the closer we get to the Greater Thumb West Championship battle. So do you know anybody know when they meet off the top of your head?
Lakers and Cassidy.
Yeah.
Last week of league play.
Yeah, oh, like beautiful. In week seven.
So
yeah.
it will be in all likelihood a true winner take all. For the Greater Thumb West Championship.
Now, Cassidy, we have the Sugar Bowl. Now you have the M81 battle. Carroll Tigers up against the Cassidy Redhawks. Carroll Tigers themselves got a win over the Memphis Yellow Jackets 44-0. Good win there. First win for Rob McDaniel as a head coach for the Carroll Tigers. Tell me about that game.
Yeah, say what you will. Memphis is obviously a team down in their luck, but Carroll going in there and getting a win, it was just as fun to see. It was so awesome to see them get the win. The kids were just so full of joy to get that win for Coach Rob. They wanted to get the win for him. And, to see Carroll, get a win, it was just a special night for them. Logan McGarry ran the ball a lot the other night, 180 yards rushing. He had three touchdowns in that game. He also had a big reception as well. A couple of the freshmen on the team got interceptions. So you saw a lot of the younger guys, get playing time, and for that to happen, that's huge for their confidence and huge for the future of the program. Showing, hey, you can get out here, get on the field right away and make a huge difference in a game. So I'm not going to say that's going to happen every single week. You're going to see the freshmen step up. I'd love it if it did, but it's not a for sure. But nonetheless, they were able to have a big night. They were able to make the hour and 20 minute drive or whatever it was to Memphis worth it for the fans. They got a big victory at Memphis, and I will say this: Memphis, there was a lot of people there, and I love that because it just felt like a Friday night football game. There was a lot of people on both sides, a lot of Memphis fans there, and it was just an exciting game. It was fun to see Carroll, and Coach Rob McDaniel was just elated for the kids. And he's looking forward to the M80 run rivalry. He said to me, I want us to compete. I don't want us to go in there and just, fall over. I just want us to go in there, and I want us to compete in every aspect of the game. So expect Carroll to try to give their all this week in a tough battle with Cassidy.
Yeah, that's our connection to the phone. It's not Scotty almost crying there, by the way. So,
Scotty, right. I cut an onion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Hi, and that's, Mike, that's go ahead.
Mike,
Mike's crying. I was going to say Mike's probably crying. He's proud of Coach Rob, I'm sure.
I haven't been able to talk for the last 15 minutes. I've been so happy about it.
We'll get you in here soon.
We'll be right back here on Thumb Sports Line, and that's the Greater Thumb Conference, I believe, we've taken care of. Yes.
Yeah, we'll say that's good.
We'll come back to the NCTL here on Thumb Sports Line Radio, High School Sports Show. We'll be right back.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
It's September. The leaves are beginning to change, the evenings are cooler, and Friday nights mean high school football. At Thumb Cellular, we're celebrating this special time of year by sharing some great savings with you. During the month of September, all Samsung Galaxy phones are on sale, with some marked down $370 from their regular retail price. But that's not where the savings end. They're also hosting an accessory sale. Spend $30 on any combination of accessories and save $10. Take your pick of chargers, cases, wireless speakers, headsets, screen protectors, and more. If it's an accessory at Thumb Cellular, you'll save $10 when you spend $30. But hurry, these savings are only valid during the month of September. Go to thumbcellular.com/deals for more info, or visit your local office in Bad Axe, Caro, Pigeon, or Sandusky. Terms and conditions apply. Speak with a customer care representative for details. Offers valid through September 30th, 2023. Can't wait to communicate.
Tune in Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. for the Cavalcade Radio Hour, a weekly journey through the golden era of recorded music. I'm your host, KP Girard, inviting you to join me from the Cavalcade Studios in Croswell for a new musical theme each week as we celebrate the singers, musicians, and songwriters of the mid-20th century. That's Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on WMIC, 660 a.m. and 95.3 FM, Sandusky.
A forecast for the rest of this Monday Labor Day. It'll be sunny and hot, a little bit on the humid side. The high temperatures of 90 to 92.
All right, welcome back to Thumb Sports Line Radio, High School Sports Show. I am on the clock, but we are on the clock to talk about the NCTL North Central Thumb League 8 player football.
The best part of the night.
Is it?
Yep.
Okay. Wins.
It's got some of our best teams.
The Deckerville Eagles winning big over the KPEC Chiefs. You did that game.
So did Mike.
Yeah, come on, man.
Quick.
We were all there.
Quick forgetting about you were even there, Eddie.
You're the host.
The people are going to think I don't even do anything.
You were there, yeah. So go ahead. You want to talk about it? Go ahead.
What do you do, Mike?
Yeah. I guess nothing.
Go ahead. You want to talk about it? Go ahead.
Okay. Well, let me just start off. First of all, since you accused me of doing nothing last week.
I did not.
Three nights you were working.
Yes.
Jalen Waddle is available.
Draft him.
As well as DK Metcalf and Garrett Wilson.
Draft Jalen Waddle.
God, come on, Eddie.
Yeah, he's got to go with Waddle.
All right.
Okay. So with the way the schedules were set up for the first 2 weeks, obviously we got some Thursday games, some Friday games. Last week we had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I have actually seen all 7 of my teams already this
year. That's impressive. Wow.
Based off of that schedule.
Paul, you're slacking.
Yes, I am.
And I think granted, I only saw Brown City Peck for the first half before that win, the weather delay. I've only seen Croslex for a quarter and a little bit due to the weather and, you know, leaving the CPS game early last Thursday to head over to Croslex. But so far, I think Deckerville impressed me the most.
Man.
Just a complete effort against KPAC. Coming into that game, KPAC was coming off of a 51-0 win over North Huron. Granted, we've learned a little bit more about North Huron. But coming into that game, JB, when we were looking at K-Pac and warm-ups,
oh my goodness,
just a humongous team.
They had
a huge size advantage against Deckerville, and it did not seem to bother Deckerville one bit. And
There
was a couple plays, yes. Well, and at the beginning of the game, K-Pac did a great job of shutting down the run against Deckerville.
Oh, absolutely.
And we talked about it last week. Deckerville is implementing the pass, and I think that is going to be so huge because, you know, when K-Pac was stopping the run, that first touchdown pass of the game, that was a fourth down play. K-Pac had him on fourth down on their first drive. And
deep in K-Pac territory, of course, because they went for 46 yards.
So Hunter Garza finds Ian Flanagan on a fourth down play. Just that passing game is going to add a whole other dimension to Deckerville. Last season, it was Dylan Ball. You know, and granted, that got them into the playoffs. At the end of the season, okay, we're going to give Dylan Ball the ball 50 times, and he's going to lead us to a win. That's not sustainable, though.
Not for a whole year.
Dylan Ball is a great kid, great athlete, tough runner, but that's not sustainable. And Hunter Garza, we saw it a little bit last year. We saw it in the K-Pac game, first of all, his passing abilities. But this year, they're handing him the keys. They're letting him run this offense, and they have the receivers for him to throw to.
Oh, boy, does he throw a pretty ball.
He throws a pretty ball.
He's got some big, tall, lanky, quick targets. You know, you mentioned Ian Flanagan. They got Logan Martin and Parker Merriman also. I mean, these guys are
all
6 foot, 6 foot two,
mm-hmm.
you know, 180 pounds, just guys that can straight out. And the one thing I like about Deckerville, you know when they're going to pass because they bring in their passing offense.
Yep.
They rotate. Dylan Ball comes out. All right, we're not running the ball unless it's Garza.
Right.
We're airing it out. So that's the only thing is, are they going to get a little predictable when they pass coming into the future?
Well, and that's the thing in the past, Deckerville, that was the thing. You didn't know when they were going to pass. They would run it up the gut 20 times in a row, and then there's going to be a tight end running over the middle wide open. And that worked for Deckerville, and it has worked for a long time. But now, you're right. They're not hiding anything. They're saying, hey, we're going to spread it out. They got receivers to do it.
And they got a couple of them, and they're good receivers. And like you said, Hunter Garza, he's an athlete back there at quarterback. Same thing we talked about with Ubley and then Sarton, just mm-hmm. athletes playing quarterback is really what it's come down to, especially in eight-player play a football, because there's so much room that you just give the ball to Hunter Garza, whether he's throwing it, running it, turn around, hand the ball off to Dylan Ball, he can do it all. And he counted for 7 touchdowns last mm-hmm. week, one of them being a punt return. So we had 2 punt returns for touchdowns last week.
Mm-hmm.
And he absolutely just had an outstanding performance.
And then you look at the defense as well. Great
Brandon Solowitz.
Brandon Solowitz, he was impressive coming off the edge as just a freshman. The interesting thing about Deckerville's defense, no seniors started. And at Deckerville as a whole, they only have one player in Preston Holman starting both ways. And Bill Brown talked about that. That was the recipe for them in 2012 when they won the state title. Obviously, he's not saying that, you know, we're going to go win a state title, but
you keep everybody fresh.
That's the recipe. You know, an eight player, if you can limit the amount of players going both ways, that will help you later on in games. We saw that against K-Pac. The only thing about Deckerville, and this could be said about Deckerville and Brown City, not so much Kingston because they did play Oakland Christian, but Deckerville hasn't played anybody really. Brown City hasn't really played anybody, but they did what they were supposed to do against the teams that they played. So we won't know about Deckerville for sure until they play Brown City week 4 because they have Dryden up next.
We find out about Brown City this week.
Yes, but all things considered, Deckerville looked very impressive last week.
All right, so Deckerville will play Dryden. That's going to be a win. Obviously going to be a win.
It should be, yeah.
Let's move on to Brown City. They get a win over Dryden, by the way, 66-0. That's why I talk about that as we lean into the next team they're going to face. But let's talk about what Brown City. They have continued to run roughshod through 2 games already. 66-0 is a score over Dryden there.
Yeah, 66-0. That was after a 68-6 win against Peck in the opening week. Granted, again, you're supposed to do that against these two teams. But we, you know, a lot of people have been expecting Brown City to fall off. That still remains to be seen because they haven't played the top teams in the Stars yet. But just real quick, against Dryden, 447 yards of total offense compared to Dryden's 32. In week, well, okay, so 32 yards of offense, 3 turnovers for Dryden. Week 1, Brown City held Peck to 86 yards and forced 2 turnovers. So that's going to be the key. Deckerville, Kingston, Brown City, all three of those teams this year have only allowed 6 points. So Kingston, probably the best offensive team out of the three, followed by Deckerville. And again, with Brown City, it's hard to say because, you know, against Peck, they were playing with the short field. Dryden, I would imagine the same thing. But we know that all three of these teams have great offenses. It's going to come down to the defense. Again, so far, all three teams have showed that they have great defenses as well. But just another quick stat from the Brown City Dryden game. Lawson Cooper, a kid that we've been talking a lot about, emerging as the playmaker for them this year. He was 10 of 16 for 85 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he added 68 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns. The thing with Brown City, they had 389 rushing yards, but they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different players carry the ball. Lawson Cooper led the way with 7 attempts. Nobody else had more than 4 carries. So they have the ability to run the ball. It'll be interesting to see this week against Kingston, where they're not going to be winning 60-0. They're not.
It's just not in the books.
It's not going to happen that way. So it'll be interesting to see which of these backs emerges. I think it'll be Connor Vandenberg. He had 3 carries for 66 yards and a touchdown. It'll be interesting to see what this Brown City offense looks like against one of the top-tier teams in 8-player football. Another name I want to throw out there, this is a fifth-quarter kid for Brown City. He's a freshman. He's been destroying on the JV level, and they've brought him up for both the Peck and Dryden games for, you know, a couple touches at the end of the game. Kaline Mulholland, he has 4 carries, 131 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So I'm interested to see what they do with him moving forward. I don't know that they necessarily need him on the varsity.
But that's a nice backup weapon to have.
It's someone that you want to keep an eye out for. But again, it's going to come down to defense for Brown City. How are you going to stop Deckerville, and how are you going to stop Owen Corliss? Because I don't know how you do that. And I don't know that anybody's figured that out since he's been quarterback at Kingston.
They haven't. And Kingston's one loss last year was because he wasn't at quarterback because he was injured.
Right.
So with that being said, like you said, nobody's figured out how to beat Owen Corliss. And I don't know if you can figure out how to beat Owen Corliss. You don't want to get in a shootout with Owen Corliss, I'll tell you that much.
Right.
So Brown City, they're going to have to learn how to play some defense, and they're going to learn, you know, Coach Cooper is going to have to figure out a way to stop Owen Corliss. But they got some other weapons, too.
We'll talk about Owen Corliss with Scotty B when we come back after this weather break here on Thumb Sports Line Radio on WMIC. We'll be right back. The way she got me feeling,
I'm a fool for love. We're going to get together, fit like a glove. Everyone who cares for the rest of the world.
Happy 65th birthday!
Cake!
Here's a book!
Here's a tie!
And here's your paperwork to fill out your Medicare supplement insurance.
No, here's a card for Grant Smith. His health insurance agency specializes in those issues dealing with Medicare.
Don't get frustrated by all the different options for Medicare supplement insurance policies. It doesn't cost a penny more to have me and my staff help you find the proper coverage to fit your needs.
Call Grant Smith today.
By the way, happy birthday.
Local news, local sports, local entertainment, feed, lifestyles, and so much more. That's what you get at BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. Blue Water Healthy Living is an online magazine that keeps you in the know and lets you escape with their featured video shows, news, and daily articles. Blue Water Healthy Living can be the best part of your day, every day. Visit BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. It's the online magazine that focuses on the heart and soul of the Blue Water area community.
Everybody, welcome back to Thumb Sports Line Radio, high school sports show on a Labor Day Monday. I want to thank everybody for coming in on this Monday and calling in also. Let's stick with our North Central Thumb League 8 player football. We left off on Owen Corliss for the Kingston Cardinals. Kingston Cardinals are undefeated also after their win over Auburn Hills Oakland Christian, 48-6. And this week they will have Brown City, and this is a highlight game here. Brown City Kingston, and find out where everybody's at. This is going to be kind of like a peek on how strong both these teams are here, Scotty.
Yeah, it's going to be a good measuring stick. You know, going into last week, we saw what Oakland Christian did with Bay City All Saints and how close the game was. We weren't really sure what to expect out of the game going into it. And I wasn't sure what to really expect out of Kingston because Owen Corliss got all his, you know, his touchdowns and all that stuff against Akron Fairgrove. They blew Akron Fairgrove out, and they did their damage. But what I saw of the Kingston squad against Oakland Christian was kind of a different look Kingston team. And I'm going to refer to the Michigan Wolverines because everyone complained about their running the ball so much last year, and they came out and threw the ball this year and kind of gave everybody a new look. That's kind of how it was last year. Owen ran the ball a lot last year. This year they came out, and in the game number two, they throw it. And they throw it very successfully. Owen had 6 completions for 128 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Wow.
He had a very good day, and then he also ran the ball 18 times for 89 yards. No touchdowns, but again, still showing that elusiveness and running the ball. But they didn't put him in harm's way. They didn't give him an opportunity to go out there and get hurt. He just kind of did his thing, threw the ball, threw 2 touchdowns to Tanner James, the long, tall sophomore now, who still haunts Deckerville's dreams, I'm sure. Hmm. And Turner Marquardt, as well as Isaiah Helton, who is a senior this year, primarily a baseball player, but he has come out and he has added a huge spark to this Kingston squad. He's, again, another kid's got tall, he's lengthy. He's really helped out in the receiving side of things, on the defensive back side of things. So you guys were pointing out all the things of Deckerville, and I'm kind of comparing it to all the pieces that Kingston has, and it should be a heck of a head-to-head battle between those two squads. You know, at the defensive side of things, Tanner James led the way, 9 tackles, 1 for loss, and then also Owen Corliss did have an interception, and then Isaiah Helton had an interception as well. So they were able to do some stuff on the defensive side. Oakland Christian, again, you've never seen them. They do have some hype. They have some kids that have you know, they're bigger dudes, but you know, for some reason they just, I don't know if it's, they're not football players, they're just athletes, but they just can't get the football side of it completely figured out. We saw it last year against Brown City when we thought they were definitely going to take care of Brown City, but that was another story. You know, and I think, you know, Kingston is kind of showing a new look at times, and they're showing, hey, we can counter whatever Deckerville might bring to us, whatever Brown City might bring to us. You know, we're able to throw the ball as well as run the ball. So yeah, it was an interesting night. It was a fun night. Just watching them kind of do different packages, do different things, and get some stuff figured out. And I think it's just a learning experience right now, but it's going to go from learning to showing what you have right away because, as you guys say, they got to go into Brown City and take on the Green Devils.
All right. So the North Central Week 3 has Burton Atherton versus KPEC, Brown City against Kingston, Auburn Hills Oakland Christian versus Mayville, and Deckerville and Dryden. Let's talk about Mayville. They themselves got the win over Burton Atherton, and they hung in there, winning by 2 points, 24-22.
Yeah, the coaches said this year they hoped that it wasn't going to be the same as last year. I guess it was, they sweated it out to the end and got the win. But Mayville starts off good, gets an 18-0 lead, and then gets shut out in the third. Atherton puts up 14, puts up 8 in the fourth, and Mayville is able to get 6 in the fourth to get that win. But, you know, the Wildcats are 2-0 right now. They are going to be in a very tough conference. We already know that. So I'm interested to see what they can do. Jace Brown, quarterback for Mayville, another big night for him. 8 completions, 173 yards, and 3 touchdowns in that game.
Brady Hoge had 15 attempts rushing for 68 yards and a score. So shout out to the Wildcats and Coach Campbell and getting another big win.
Anything to add?
Not for Mayville. But just going back to Brown City Kingston real quick, I played devil's advocate with Marlette earlier. So, you know, I have to do it with Brown City, too. While Kingston may be the favorite, Brown City last season, you know, they played all over the state. They didn't really get to play many teams in the thumb, and they were looking forward to that opportunity to face Kingston in the playoffs. This year, they beat Peck, they beat Dryden. That's what you're expected to do. They want to get that signature win in the thumb, you know, because Kingston was our team of the year last year, I believe, and Brown City felt that they were team of the year, and this is they want to prove that they're the premier eight-player team in the thumb, and we'll find out if they are. But I think Brown City has that extra motivation to you know, come into this game and play well.
All right, so when we come back, we will get into the NCTL Stripes division. Oh boy, this is Paul Adams, Nick of the Woods, along with Scott.
We got two teams in this division.
So we will be right back here.
You each got two teams, don't you?
I got two teams. Paul's yeah. got two teams. Yeah. Scott has, I don't know,
one.
Just one?
Yeah. Akron-Ferger Vikings.
Yes. Yes.
Sound the horn!
The favorites.
We will here. We will when we come back here on Thumb Sports Line.
Hi, I'm Kate Delaney, and I'm inviting you to join me from midnight to 2 right here on 95.3 WMIC-FM, the voice of the thumb, to be plugged into what's happening up to the moment in our world and how it impacts you. Plus, guests that will make you think, learn, and laugh out loud. There's even a visit to the Man Cave, or Roman Cave as I like to call it, to touch on sports. You can weigh in with a call on all of it. I'll even throw in the weather. So tune in starting at midnight to catch America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, on 95.3 WMIC-FM, the voice of the thumb.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Michigan. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the MHSAA and the Michigan Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
And welcome back to Thumb Sports Line Radio, our tail end of the show. And we've got NCTL, Stripes Division, to talk here. And, boy, you know, this is the division that really hurt my football picks. And the pigskin picks.
Easy for you to say.
Of the Huron County View with Paul Adams. And how many people have entered, do you know?
We're over 100 now, which is outstanding. We were at about 80 last year. And it keeps growing. From last week to this week, we had 10 new entries, over 10 new entries. So, you know, it was going to always be a work in progress, starting this thing from the ground up. But I think people are enjoying it and they're into it. So, you know, and I try to put out a good slate of games for everybody to pick, which, you know, representing all three counties. And, you know, I think it's been fun so far. It's about to get a lot tougher when we get into league play.
All right. In the NCTL Stripes Division, your week two scores: Ashley over New Haven Merritt, 22-0. Peck defeating Caseville. Caseville putting down 44 points on Peck, but Peck scored 54 to get the 10-point win. Bay City All Saints search out North Huron, 49-0. And the Akron-Fargo Vikings over Carsonville Port Sanilac, 42-6. Sound the horn. Scotty B., this is your neck of the coverage area. But, Mike, you were at this game.
I covered him. Yeah, why do I get
it? This is the third time.
Oh, the hat trick.
You covered the game.
So. I was there for a half, yes.
Okay, so what'd you see that Akron Fairgrove had that you think, hey, they're right there. They're right there. So in the
they had a great offense. The quarterback there in Karpovich, Scott, you would know this better than I. Is this his second year or third year as starting quarterback?
Oh, I think it's his second season.
Okay, because he looked fantastic. They did a great job of running the ball. And then when he went to the air, he was very effective. CPS, they played well at times. Defensively, they would get a couple stops. They would get Akron Fairgrove in third and long or fourth and long, and it would just be a couple big plays would kill them. And the offense looked okay for CPS. They moved the ball a little bit, but they got off to a slow start, and that's something that's hurt CPS in the past. They settled in defensively a little bit in the second quarter, in the second half. The numbers are up a little bit. I think they had 13 or 14 against Akron Fairgrove, so that'll help. But Akron Fairgrove looked awesome. They had a freshman running back, had some nice carries. I wish I had the roster in front of me because their starting running back was very good. But I think Akron Fairgrove has the offense. Again, we don't know anything about All Saints, but I think just based off of the offense that Akron Fairgrove has, they have to be the favorite in the stripes right now.
And we know in eight-player football, points wins games.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty, your take on Akron Fairgrove.
Yeah, let me get excited for a little bit here for Akron Fairgrove because looking at their schedule coming up, they have Peck, Merritt, Caseville, Ashley, and North Huron. There's a real good chance that they could go into that All Saints game undefeated. Nothing, you know, Peck has a chance, Caseville has a chance. Those are the two teams I have the question marks next to. But Merritt just got blanked by Ashley. Ashley, you know, they've struggled. North Huron struggling this season. So, you know, there's a chance that Akron Fairgrove could rattle off five straight wins and get ready for that All Saints game at the end of the season for winner take all in the conference. But that's just me getting excited for Akron Fairgrove because it's really cool to see, you know, some positiveness coming out of there. They went 4-5 last season, picked up some wins, and then, you know, they're trying to roll that over into this season. And this is kind of the time to do it. They do have some seniors on this squad that are Isaac Squires, Gatlin Guild, who unfortunately wasn't playing the other night. And then I don't know if Karpovich is a senior or not, but he's an upperclassman as well. I think he's maybe a junior or senior. But this is the year for Akron Fairgrove to really take a big step with Coach Dominic Krogan. So, yeah, I'm really excited to see what happens the next couple weeks with this Viking squad.
Big game for Akron Fairgrove. They are up against the Peck Pirates here, Mike. They defeated Caseville 54-44. We know Caseville has somebody fast. That's a lot of great cheeseburgers burning up the calories there, Paul. Hey, fastest kid, right? You think right now in player football?
Yeah, he's a state champion.
He's the fastest kid in Division IV.
Yeah, he's the fastest kid in the Thumb, fastest kid in the state in the 400. He might not have that burst, maybe the fastest burst speed, but when he gets in the open field, forget about it. You're not catching him. And we're talking about Nathan Feltner. He put up a ton of yards, I'm sure, against Pack. Haven't seen those numbers, but 44 points. You can rest assured a lot of those 44, those came on the legs of Nathan Feltner. You know, through the first 2 weeks, Caseville, they're winless, score 64 points. Put that in perspective, Caseville scored 94 all of last year. So Caseville scoring points, and eventually those, looking at the NCTL stripes, I'm sticking by it. I say it every year on this show that Caseville's winning a game, and I'm going to tell you Caseville's going to win that game this week. They're going to my hometown of Kindy over to North Huron, and they're going to win that game. North Huron hasn't scored yet. Not a point. Like Scotty was being very nice about North Huron, saying they're down. They are way down. Outscored 100-0 so far. This has the makings of Caseville winning. And I think when you look at Caseville's schedule, there's a couple more wins to be had when you look around the NCTL stripes. But I agree with you guys, man. I'm looking at Akron Fairgrove. I saw them in their scrimmage when they were over at Caseville. And this is a team that definitely could be the favorite right now. And Scotty mentioned Gatlin Guild didn't even play.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of their big pieces, a big important piece of that team. So, you know, it's been since 2013 that the Vikings have won seven or more games, and I think they really have an opportunity this year to get to that mark and get to the playoffs for the first time since 2013. So a lot should be, you know, really excited over there in Viking country.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but in 2013, they were not an NCTL team. That was when they were in, like, the mid-Michigan.
Mid-Michigan,
eight.
Yeah.
Because yeah,
that was before the NCTL went full eight-man, wasn't it?
No.
They might have been in 13, might have been in the NCTL.
2011 was the last year of 11 player. Yeah. In the NCTL. But so again, we keep adding this caveat. We don't know anything about All Saints, but
you are correct. That was the mid Michigan.
Okay. So we haven't seen Akron Fairgrove had this, potentially have this type of success in the NCTL in quite some time. Again, we don't know anything about Bay City All Saints, but this week's game between Akron Fairgrove and Peck, that's the biggest game in the stripes, I would say.
I would agree.
Obviously so far, but potentially all season. Peck is the defending champs. Granted, this is a different Peck team. You don't have Caleb Lettner. You don't have Stephen Van Conant.
Brady Babcock.
But this could be a signature moment for Akron Fairgrove, or it could be a point where Peck says, hey, you know, we're young this year, but we're not going away anytime soon. And I'm interested to see how that plays out. It's tough when you have such a big game with such high stakes this early in the season. But, man, it makes for an exciting matchup.
North Huron, like you said, Paul, having problems. Bay City All Saints, by the way,
problems.
Had 185 yards in their first game, and then against North Huron, 154 yards passing, just on 5 of 12 passing. One touchdown was scored by the All Saints. And then rushing-wise, they put up 282 yards rushing against North Huron also for the Bay City All Saints. They look like probably the strongest team offensively-wise, I would say right now, in the SATL Stripes division at this point. And in Week 8, they have New Haven Merritt. I think the highlight game is Akron Fairgrove and Peck also. Caseville against North Huron. Oh, that's an interesting game, man.
I'll be at that game.
Okay. That's going to be, yeah, everybody's going to be wondering who's going to get the first win of the season. It's going to be Caseville or North Huron. And then Ashley against Carsonville, Port Salek. Does Carsonville have enough? Have you seen some bright spots from this team?
Oh, they definitely have some bright spots. They have a great quarterback. They have a great receiver. Their offensive line.
Not all putting it all together.
It's just, yeah. And they missed tackles. They show glimpses of it. And, you know, they'll get better as the season goes along. Their coach came on very late. But their CPS, there's potential there as long as they can continue to get better each week and, you know, avoid injuries. They should be able to pick up a win somewhere. I underestimated Akron Fairgrove a little bit, probably, but you know, CPS, there's some talent there. It's just hard when the numbers are that low, especially in week to week preparation. You know, when you're going into practice. Yeah, CPS will be fine. They're on the road for a few weeks here now, so. It'll be kind of tough, and then they have the week 9 open because they opted out of the game against Kingston, which was a good decision for both teams. So.
Okay, Scotty, you want anything to our NCTL Stripes wrap up?
No, just go Vikings.
Eddie,
sound the horn.
I got a little more NCTL Stripes stuff.
Okay.
Just because I picked against the Pirates last week and I feel bad, I got to give them a little love now.
Your name is going to be torn from the history books.
Yeah, well, that's probably for the best. That's probably for
the best.
You're
going to be banned from school.
Yeah. So, you know, I picked the Caseville upset last week and I was pretty close to being right. But I do got to give Peck their flowers. Senior running back Carson Liebling, 21 carries, 278 yards, 3 touchdowns. Cal Hayden, quarterback, 14 carries, 89 yards, 2 of 3 passing for 53 yards and 2 touchdowns. Both of those went to Thomas West, who is going to be a star for the Pirates. Defensively, Liebling had 9 tackles. Aiden Alfaro had 9 tackles. And on Caseville's first possession of the game, had a pick 6 to start off the scoring for Peck. And I talked to Coach C.J. Wendell, and Their strategy going into the game was let's stop Nathan Feltner and let, you know, somebody else try and beat us. And right off the bat, the Caseville quarterback tries to beat him, and Peck goes pick 6 against him. So this is a Peck team, very young. The offensive line is there. You know, they're very experienced along the offensive line. It'll depend on how these playmakers come in around them. And then these freshmen and sophomores. Aiden Alfaro is only a sophomore. He had 9 tackles and obviously the pick 6. So Peck is a team. They'll make big improvements throughout the season. Tough test against Akron Fairgrove, but they do get to play at home. So you don't sleep on Peck. Don't write them off just yet. Even though I did that just last week, I'm a hypocrite. But
eat your words, Mikey.
Yeah, hey, I'm fine with it. I did it twice last week with the Richmond prediction too. So I'll admit when I'm wrong, even if it happens a lot.
All right, so that wraps things up, our whole talk there. Anything other note, sports notes? I know cross-country and volleyball is really going to kick into gear now this
last
week.
Last week it was kind of tough because the Brown City Invitational, their course was kind of underwater. That would have been my first opportunity to cover some cross-country. The SC4 Skippers Invitational was on Friday, and another first-place finish for Eva Thompson from Croslex. And the Croslex girls cross country team last year won the regional title for the first time since 2003, and they have a great chance at repeating. They only lost one runner from last year, so I'm interested to see how they do. But yeah, I haven't had my eyes on cross country a whole lot yet because of the Brown City Invitational being canceled. So I don't have much for you for cross country. Last week I did have the opportunity on Tuesday night to see Croslex volleyball, Marlette volleyball, Sandusky volleyball, Kingston volleyball, and Croslex is 17-2 right now. They're off to a great season, great start to the season. They have 4 fantastic seniors that have really been leading the way. They'll open up BWAC play this week against Yale, and then that's when you're really going to find out about Croslex, because the BWAC is impressively stacked. And then you got North Branch sitting way above everybody else at the top. So we'll see, you know, 17-2 is pretty impressive. We'll see if they have what it takes against North Branch. That's a tall task. And then Marlette, state ranked in volleyball. They looked pretty good the other night on Tuesday night. They lost to Croslex, but they'll also be opening conference play this week against Memphis. Gabby Martinez will more than likely pick up her 1,000th career kill. And then Kingston looked very good against Sandusky. Sandusky looked like they were still trying to figure some things out. They tried a lot of different rotations. But Sandusky's always a sneaky team in the East, so we'll see if they get better. But Kingston looked awesome. So
all right. That. So we're going to wrap things up. Scotty B, what's your game of the week?
I will figure that one out. Okay. It's going to be the Sugar Bowl M81 rivalry. And real quick, I just want to give a shout out to Cassidy Shelby Ignash committing to the Texas Tech University for volleyball.
Whoa. Wow.
Big time. Yeah. That's our second Power 5 volleyball player to come out of the thumb.
Huh. Second,
you've got the
Erica Triber out of USC.
I was going to say second SEC, but I'm wrong.
Texas
about that.
Tech still.
You've got the big Case North Huron game.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Should be some scoring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least by one team.
Sure.
And, of course, we'll be having Marlette-Ubley game. Our full list of week 3 games already will be fully listed by tomorrow afternoon. And we'll figure out everybody's coverage by tomorrow afternoon. So thank you for tuning in. The Sports Line here on WMIC. Thank you, Scotty. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks,
and thank you, Paul.